Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports. Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
We've been doing this for 21 years. I told you guys I'd come straight ahead. So, you know, with coming straight ahead, I was going to take some contact. I could have sat back and just boxed and counterpunched and made it boring. I didn't want to do that. I feel like I owe the fans a last hurrah. So I went out there and me and my dad communicated before we went out there. The whole game plan was to go out there and let him shoot heavy shots from the beginning, take him down the stretch, and do what we do best. And that's what we did tonight.
That's Floyd Mayweather speaking after his 10th round technical knockout victory over Conor McGregor in Las Vegas, Nevada. Mayweather pummeled a visibly tired McGregor before referee Robert Byrd stepped in and stopped the mega bout, billed as perhaps the most lucrative in boxing history. It was the unbeaten Mayweather's 50th consecutive victory as he surpassed former heavyweight champion Rocky Marciano's 49-0 mark. Mayweather says he fulfilled his pre-fight prediction.
Remember this. I told you people, I guarantee you this fight wouldn't go the distance. I told you, I was going for the knockout, I was going straight ahead. And with going straight ahead, you're going to take contact. I understand that. But, you know, after 21 years in the sport of boxing, I had some great fights, I had some boring fights. But at the end of the day, I will be always remembered as a winner, you know. No matter how you win, as long as you win, you know, I know how to dissect my opponent. I know how to go out there and break them down and just stick to the game plan.
Floyd Mayweather stuck to the game plan after ending a nearly two-year retirement to fight Conor McGregor. At the post-fight news conference, the 40-year-old Mayweather, one of the richest athletes in the world, vowed he'll never fight again, and he also spoke about his huge payday.
We do foolish things sometimes. All of us do foolish things, but I'm not a damn fool. If I see an opportunity to make $300, $350 million in 36 minutes, why not? I had to do it. But this is the last one. You guys have my word. I had a great career. You know, a great career. I can't complain about anything, you know. Steven Espinosa and CBS, they gave me the biggest deal in sports history.
Meanwhile, the Irishman who lost over the weekend, Conor McGregor, is also smiling all the way to the bank. Reports say the 29-year-old McGregor could earn as much as $100 million for his almost 10 rounds of boxing. McGregor says he also proved a lot of doubters wrong about his boxing abilities.
I tell you what, I enjoyed it very, very much. It was an honor for me to come over here on the boxing side and showcase my skills. I know there was a lot of disrespect and disregard for my skill. You know what I mean? I'm a multiple weight free fighting world champion. I was a little bit taken back by the disrespect and the disregard that I was shown. In fairness, Floyd and his team never actually showed that disrespect. It was just the overall... everyone else, and it was almost like a little bit of a jealousy thing, so I kind of just got over it, but the disrespect for my skill set was a little bit, it took me back a little bit, but I always knew that when the fight comes around, August 26th, I'm going to show up and I'm going to give a good account of myself.
And what does the future hold for Conor McGregor?
This was some buzz to come in and face this man, and you know, so many doubters, so many, it's never going to happen, like even thinking it's never going to happen, remember that time. This fight is never going to happen. And I always stood like, we can get this fight happen. Then it was like, I'm not going to lay a glove. And there were so many things to overcome. And I just enjoyed the whole experience. So I'm just relishing in it for now. I have many options in mixed martial arts. I'm sure there's options now that will present themselves in the boxing game. Right now, I'm a free agent. My name is on the ring. McGregor Sports and Entertainment on the ring, in a boxing ring. That's something to be proud of. I'm very proud of that. So I'll see what's next, but I'm open. I love competing. I love a good fight. Tonight was a damn good fight. I enjoyed myself, and that's it. Long may it continue, and we'll see what's next. I can't tell you exactly what's next, but no, something will be next.
Elsewhere in boxing, Kenya sent three fighters to the AIBA World Championships in Hamburg, Germany. All three Kenyans were eliminated before the medal round. For reaction, reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori talked with the head coach of the Kenyan team, David Munuhe.
Obviously, as a coach and looking at the preparation that we made for coming here, I feel disappointed. It has not gone the way I wanted. So it's quite sure that I feel disappointed.
I understand your Boxing Association of Kenya. I think they give you a support, they give you the necessary help financially, spiritually.
Yeah, I would say they try their level best. You know, at times we have problems with finances, but in fact the Boxing Association of Kenya plus the government of Kenya, they helped out a great deal, and we had some help for training. And in fact, the way now you are seeing us here is the support from the government. Mm-hmm. It has catered for everything, for our tickets and our meals. So on that area, I can't complain. The government helps us a great deal.
Let's talk about your preparation before coming to Germany for this competition. How far was your preparation?
We did our best as we could. Immediately after Congo, we had two to three months, and we just gave them some few days to go home and relax, and then we started to train for this games. It was, I think we took about 1.5 months, courtesy of Boxing Association of Kenya.
And was it enough for you, the 1.5 months?
Let me say it wasn't enough, but at least it was something that was good, because, we could have liked to go outside for friendly matches outside, but you see, they couldn't do that. But the time we got and the finances that we got for the time we got, we are happy. Though it wasn't enough, but we are happy that they did do that to us.
Let's talk about your boy, Hassan Shafi Bakari. He fought in the 49 kilogram. It's a very spectacular display. But what went wrong?
Let me say again, I was disappointed. Okay, let me say that the officiating of that bout wasn't as I was expecting it, because Shafi was leading throughout. And it was surprising to see that the other boxer was given the win. But honestly, Shafi carried the day.
You mean that he was a German and they are the host?
I would say so.
What about your other boxer, Nick Okot, 60 kilogram?
Yeah, Nick Okot also gave his all. But now he had a misfortune, because he sustained a cut, and it was a double cut. He had a cut over and below his right eye. So that kind of disoriented his game plan, and because he was all the time thinking about the cut. And in fact, we had like 2 breaks or 3 breaks where he had to go and attend the doctor. So at least now that one disoriented his game plan.
And your other boy, John Charlo, 75 kilograms.
John Charlo had a good opponent. Mm-hmm. He was taller than him and an experienced boxer. But he also tried his level best. And John Charlo, this was his first international game outside.
These boys are the best in your country, because those are the boys you brought. Do you think they have a future for next championship and Olympic Games?
In fact, what we are thinking about now is nothing else but the Commonwealth Games, which will be held on April.
Yeah.
So right now, There's nothing else we're thinking about. We are thinking about getting medals in Australia.
What is the future now?
The future is still good for Kenya. Yeah. As you know, Kenya has been good since time in memorial in boxing. We can't even forget about our own Mochoki. In 1974, in the same championship, he won silver. So Kenya is known in the boxing area, and I believe we will bring that glory back.
That's David Manuhe, the head coach of Kenya's national boxing team. And David was talking with reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori at the AIBA World Boxing Championships in Hamburg, Germany. In basketball news, here's a sunny side of sports salute to the Tigress of Nigeria, who won the African women's title over the weekend in Bamako, Mali. Reporter Samson Omale has that story, as well as other sports news.
Good evening to you, Sonny. We begin with the 2017 FIBA Basketball Championship, which ended on Sunday night in Bamako, Mali. Nigeria claimed their third FIBA women's basketball title after beating Senegal 65-48 in Sunday's final. Evelyn Ekeato led the way with team highs of 13 points and 7 rebounds in the winning effort. And courtesy of qualifying for the final, both Nigeria and Senegal have qualified for the FIBA Women's Basketball World Cup 2018 in Spain. Earlier in the day, Mali claimed the last spot on the podium after edging out Mozambique 75-52 in the third-place game. And now to rugby news. And following the 19-all draw last Sunday, Hong Kong showed Kenya a rugby masterclass by crushing the home side 43-34. It was a bitter pill for the Simbas, who had made a number of changes to strengthen their squad. The result saw the Dragons clinch the Tattoo Series trophy after forcing Kenya Simbas Lions to a 19-19 stalemate in the first test last weekend, played at the same venue. Hong Kong ran in 4 tries, 4 conversions and 5 penalties against 4 converted tries and 2 penalties from the Kenyans. Staying with rugby, South Africa Springbok coach Alistair Kotzee has praised the team's planning and the players' conditioning following their 41-23 bonus point win over the Pumas on Saturday evening in Salta, Argentina. South Africa defeated the Pumas by 37-15 in Port Elizabeth last weekend and have 9 points from their last rugby championship matches. In athletics, South Africa's Caster Semenya brought her glittering season to an end by smashing the world record in the rally run 600 meters. The 26-year-old Olympic gold medalist and 3 times world champion over 800 meters clocked a stunning 1 minute 21.77 seconds over the unusual distance at the Istaff meet in the German capital of Berlin. She took 0.86 seconds off the previous best set by Cuba's Ana Fidelia Curiot in 1997. Semenya says she was delighted to end her season in the German capital, where she won world gold 8 years ago. In football news, Egyptian giants Zamalek are facing a race against time to appoint a new coach before the start of the season. They are currently in advanced talks with Montenegrin Nebojša Jovović to fill their vacant managerial seat. The Cairo Giants were close to hiring former Belgian coach Frankie Vercuturian last week, only to be snubbed by the 60-year-old, who, according to reports, was not satisfied with the club's offer. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Tennis news now on the Voice of America. It's the opening day of action at the U.S. Open in New York. The U.S. Tennis Association says it expects about 700,000 fans to pass through the turnstiles over the next 2 weeks to see matches at the year's final Grand Slam tournament. And these fans are looking forward to seeing their favorite players.
Roger Federer. I liked him so much, already like 10 years. Since first time I visit US Open, I remember, and I remember the final game, with the final match with the Nadal. So after that, that's my favorite player forever.
I actually can't wait to see Venus Williams. Yeah, so she's very powerful, and I just love seeing her and her sister. So I know her sister won't be playing, but can't wait to see her. Yep.
Rafael Nadal, because he's my favorite player. I like how his forehand and his backhand. I like how he plays and everything.
Oh yeah, I like tennis. It's good too. Yeah, we enjoy tennis. My grandson actually goes every Saturday for playing tennis. Yeah. So hope, you know, he can be a good player.
You've been listening to a few tennis fans at the U.S. Open in New York City. We heard that first fan say his favorite player is Roger Federer. The 36-year-old Federer is a five-time U.S. Open champion with his last title in 2008. But Roger has had a resurgence this season, with Federer winning trophies at both Wimbledon and the Australian Open. Roger's chances of winning another U.S. Open trophy have improved even more with the absence of five of the top 11 men's players in the world rankings, including last year's U.S. Open champion, Stan Wawrinka of Switzerland. Federer will play his first match Tuesday against 19-year-old American Francis Tiafoe, who grew up here in the Washington area and whose parents are from Sierra Leone. Tiafoe turned professional in 2015, and he's hoping to advance to the second round at the U.S. Open for the first time in his career, but he'll have to pull off a big first-round upset of Roger Federer to do that. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Tennis fever in New York. I imagine the U.S. Open is trending.
Oh, as a tennis fan and as a New Yorker, I love it, Sonny. It's my favorite time of year. But it is indeed trending. As you mentioned, some big absences on the men's side. You have Milos Raonic and Andy Murray pulling out over the weekend with injuries. That brings it, as you said, to five of the top 11 players, Raonic, Murray, Stan Wawrinka, Novak Djokovic, Kei Nishikori, all out before the tournament even begins. Keep in mind last year that the final was Stan Wawrinka beating Novak Djokovic. They're both out of this tournament. Mm. And three of the four men in the semifinals last year are out, between Wawrinka, Djokovic, and Kei Nishikori, who made it to the semis. So big absences on the men's side, and as you said, that might make it easier for Roger Federer to capture that sixth U.S. Open title.
Unfortunately, should he and Rafa win their early round matches, I'd love to see a final between them, but I think they're on the same half of the draw, so they would meet in the semifinals if they keep winning in New York.
Let me tell you, Sonny, if those two meet up, it's going to be a hot ticket in New York to try to get for sure. On the women's side, it's kind of a different picture. Just four women out of the top 90 are out of the U.S. Open. The biggest name, of course, being Serena Williams, out expecting her first child, really any day or week now, sometime in the next month or so, we're thinking. But the biggest matchup that's getting a lot of attention, the biggest player that's getting a lot of attention in the first round, is ranked 143 in the world, and that is none other than Maria Sharapova. She, of course, had served that doping ban. She is coming back now, and she, as such a low-ranked player because her ranking has fallen while she was out on that ban, she has to play world number two Simona Halep in the first round. Quite a matchup. Mm. And an intriguing one for Sharapova, because in the six times that Sharapova and Halep have played, Sharapova has won every single time. So it's going to be a very interesting matchup, very winnable match for Maria Sharapova. Simona Halep, when she saw the draw, I'm sure she was not pleased to see that she would have to take on Maria Sharapova. But a lot of people are going to be watching that match as it gets underway tonight.
And Sharapova has been playing at other tournaments ahead of the U.S. Open, right, Andrew?
She has. She's had some injuries. She's had to pull out of some tournaments, hasn't played as much maybe as she'd like to. Most notably, she has not played in the French Open or Wimbledon. The French, she did not get any kind of wild card or any qualifying slot even. Wimbledon, she decided not to play because of injury. So this is the first Grand Slam tournament that she's going to be back since that ban. It's going to be really interesting to see if she can still meet the pressure and deal with the pressure, or if Simona Halep can make the seventh time the charm and finally beat her.
Lots of excitement at the U.S. Open tennis tournament, which is underway in New York City. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, Sonny, we have to talk about the fight. We've been talking about it for months. It finally happened on Saturday, Mayweather versus McGregor. And I as I was looking at the social media, I kind of saw it divided into before, during, and after the fight. So before the fight, you had lots of the commentary. You saw the two men come into the arena. Lots of talk about Floyd Mayweather's outfit, appearing to wear a ski mask as he entered the arena. Kind of an unusual choice for him. But even before the boxing match started, this matchup started, there were already celebrities on social media from this matchup, because several fans snuck into the arena, including three Irish fans, two of whom didn't even have tickets to the fight. They snuck in with McGregor's extended family, and they found their way to the front row, and they ended up sitting in $80,000 seats right at the front row, and two of them didn't pay anything. Another fan, well-dressed McGregor fan, snuck into the ringside section by posing as a member of Floyd Mayweather's security team, and up on his social media, he put up all these pictures with celebrities, with J-Lo and A-Rod and Gerard Butler and Mike Tyson, all of these huge celebrities that were there, LeBron James. All these celebrities there for the fight. So good for those fans. I don't know if they're going to get in trouble now that their names have been released, but hey, they found a way. And when there's a will, there's a way. Certainly during the fight, lots of talk on social media. A lot of talk about how people were watching this fight, Sonny. We talked about the high price tag here in the U.S., $100 that people would have to pay to watch this on pay-per-view. Well, according to online security experts, nearly 3 million people watched illegal streams of the fight, most of them showing up on social media. So up to 3 million people didn't pay to watch this fight. They found other ways to watch it, and there were, at least by their count, this company, 200 illegal streams people tuned into. So I was scrolling through the hashtag on Saturday night. I saw a number of people were broadcasting it on Periscope and other ways so people could watch that fight.
Could they be sanctioned for that, Andrew?
They might. Certainly the social media companies are trying to pull them down, but there were only so much they could do and only so much they could keep up with. But it is going to be interesting to see if the people who illegally broadcast this and the people who snuck in, if they're going to face any ramifications from this. Lots of social media reaction as the fight was going on. Fans saying it was a bit of a hug fest, the two of them kind of hugging
at the end.
Well, at the end and during the fight, they were kind of, you know, got tangled up, and the ref had to separate them a few times. But after the fight, that was the moment when they hugged at the end, and they had some nice words of respect for each other that showed that they honored each other as great competitors. McGregor fans a little disappointed the fight ended early, but fans across the board praising McGregor for holding his own through the 10 rounds and wondering, will a boxer fight under MMA rules? That's the next contest that we might see. And perhaps most surprising of all, Sonny, after the fight, both men silent on social media. Haven't heard anything from Floyd Mayweather or Conor McGregor on any of their social media channels. Fans saying they're probably too busy counting all of the money they made to bother posting on Twitter or Facebook.
Although they probably hire an accountant to count all that money.
I think so, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see some pictures on social media where they've got some stacks of cash.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
And that wraps up the August 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. In late 2014, ISIS was at the height of its power. They controlled what was effectively a quasi-state, said Brett McGurk, special presidential envoy for the Global Coalition to Defeat ISIS, at a press conference. They were able to mass and maneuver force all around Iraq and Syria, taking entire cities, controlling millions of people under their domain. In June 2014, ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi announced the formation of a caliphate in Iraq and Syria and declared himself the caliph. One of the reasons for ISIS' success was its broad and global appeal to foreign sympathizers. It preys on the minds of vulnerable and disaffected people around the world. It is a force of modern-day barbarism that seeks nothing less than the complete subjugation or destruction of all civilized people. It seeks to roll back centuries of progress on the rights and liberties of all human beings. Beginning in 2014, to date, about 40,000 foreign terrorist fighters from about 120 countries from around the world traveled into Syria and Iraq to join ISIS. To destroy the terrorist group, one of the areas the Global Coalition to Defeat ISIS had to focus on was to stop the influx of foreign terrorist fighters into Syria and seal the borders. They were coming by the thousands, and it's down at least by 90%, and we are not finding ISIS fighters being able to leave Syria, said Special Envoy McGurk. This decline, due in part to significant battlefield losses and an increasing number of desertions from ISIS ranks as fighters become disillusioned or return home, is making it harder for ISIS to replenish its ranks, and the number of ISIS fighters in Iraq and Syria has been reduced to the lowest levels in more than 2.5 years.
Not too long ago, what they would do is plan a terrorist attack in Raqqa. They would train a unit, kind of a terrorist combat unit. They would then infiltrate out. They would hang out in Manbij. They would then infiltrate out and go conduct an attack, such as in Paris or in the Brussels airport.
The caliphate is what drew so many of these foreign fighters to join ISIS and what makes it a global network, said Special Envoy McGurk. We think there are about 2,000 ISIS fighters left in Raqqa, and they will most likely die in Raqqa as forces continue to liberate the city.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Africa, this is James Butte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.